Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. As most of you know, on September 30th, the pharmaceutical company Merck pulled their popular arthritis drug Vioxx from pharmacy shelves, sending the industry and many observers into toxic shock. How much of this could have been prevented, and what changes do we, the consumers of medication, need to see? Well, of course, the problem was that they found that there was a disproportionate rate of heart attacks and other cardiac events among people who were on Vioxx for 18 months or more, something that they didn't expect it to find in a study that was focused more on benefits with respect to colon polyps. But Merck just held a news conference this morning, and some of the things that came out of it are interesting. So this story is continuing to develop, and joining us to discuss it is Rita Rubin, medical reporter from USA Today. Rita, thanks so much for coming on. Hi there.
Oh, my pleasure, Brian. I'm good. Thank
so you. Merck held a press conference just a few minutes ago, and what did they say?
Well, basically, I don't think there was anything new presented in this hour-long conference. One point that they just repeatedly made was about the original study that first kind of set off some alarms about risk involved with taking Vioxx. And that was a study published in November of 2000 in the New England Journal. The acronym is, it's the VIGOR study, kind of ironic, I guess. And that study found a higher rate of heart attacks and strokes in patients, they were arthritis patients, taking Vioxx as, compared to patients taking naproxen, which is one of those older non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. It's the brand name is Aleve, although you can get it, a generic version of it.
That's the older,
right,
the,
that's the older model.
Drug. And somebody told me that at this news conference, which I didn't hear, Vioxx dug in a little bit and defended an earlier study, which did not show, Merck dug in and defended an earlier study on Vioxx. Are they angling to reintroduce the product at some point?
Oh, I don't think so. I think that this might have been spurred by the fact, as they even said at the press conference, a lot of lawsuits have been filed. They expect a lot more lawsuits to be filed by people who took Vioxx or their families. I don't think they're at all considering reintroducing it. But I think what they were trying to do is show that, you know, yes, this study looks suspicious, but we still think, we have thought all along, it wasn't because Vioxx was a bad actor here, but it was because naproxen actually protected people's hearts, kind of like aspirin. The problem with that is there's never really been good research, certainly not good clinical trials, you know, testing naproxen in human beings that showed that naproxen did protect people's hearts. I mean, you hear about people taking low-dose aspirin to protect their hearts and basically to prevent blood clots from forming. And Merck is arguing that there are some observational studies, studies of people who actually chose to take naproxen as opposed to another related drug,
right.
And some animal studies that suggest naproxen has similar anti-clotting effects to aspirin.
Well, that's pretty interesting. So Merck says that they believe that people taking Vioxx only had heart attacks and strokes at the same rate as people in the general population not taking either drug, but they weren't compared to a control group. They were only taking...
They were only compared to naproxen. They didn't have a placebo group.
Right. So if naproxen is really protective against heart attacks and strokes, then Vioxx is getting an unfair rap. But are they going to set out to prove that?
I don't think so. I mean, they said, the question came up in the press conference, well, if that's the case, why didn't you do studies right away to show that naproxen was protective? And they said, well, we did some animal studies, but they didn't do any big trials. And, the other issue is, why, if naproxen is protective, why aren't, cardiologists prescribing naproxen instead of aspirin to people to protect against heart attacks.
Well, first of all, they probably don't know because they don't keep up with every jot and tittle of research. And second, it probably has other side effects, does it? A lot of those, you know, anti-arthritis drugs have stomach effects. I don't know if that one does.
Yeah, they all do, but including aspirin, which people take, you know, low-dose aspirin to protect against heart disease. But, you know, I think you raise an important point, and that is you have to look at why are so many people taking Vioxx to begin with? There was never a claim that it was more effective in relieving pain or inflammation than the older drugs like naproxen or ibuprofen.
Right, it was easier on your belly.
It was easier on your stomach, right. But the thing is, I knew people in their 20s and 30s whose doctors were prescribing Vioxx or Celebrex, you know, a related drug. And these were people who had a very low risk of experiencing any, problems from taking a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. And I think that's a question, you know, there's this risk-benefit ratio question here. And these are people, there are a lot of people taking Vioxx, I think, who stood to benefit very little from taking the drug, they could have taken generic ibuprofen bought at their drugstore, you know, 1,000 pills for $10, as opposed to Vioxx or Celebrex, which are pretty expensive.
Also, people prescribe them, doctors prescribe them like candy. Just this year, I had a minor sports injury in my knee, and I went to a doctor who showed me some exercises to do and said take Celebrex. And I said, well, I'm not really that uncomfortable. I don't want to take Celebrex. I'll just do the exercises. He said, oh, take the Celebrex, you know, and I didn't. And I'm fine, but most people probably would have.
Right.
But that's what the doctor did.
I know a lot of people where their doctors gave them free samples, for a sore knee. And I don't know, maybe taking it for a week, probably taking it for a week wasn't going to harm them if there really is indeed an increase in cardiovascular problems from taking the drug, but there's no benefit either. Besides, okay, their pain's relieved, but their pain would have been relieved taking, as I said, a much cheaper drug.
Right. In some cases, right? I mean, these prescription anti-inflammatories are stronger, aren't they? Stronger than over-the-counter ibuprofen?
They're not. If you compare them to like large doses of ibuprofen, and you know there's some studies comparing them to 800 milligrams of ibuprofen three times a day. And if you just buy ibuprofen in the drugstore, it's usually each pill is usually about 200 milligrams.
That's a lot of ibuprofen.
Yeah, it's a lot of ibuprofen, but there are people who take that much of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's kind of a ceiling with all these non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or NSAIDs, and Vioxx is an NSAID, and Celebrex is an NSAID. They're a different type, but they're still NSAIDs.
Right.
There's a ceiling as far as their effectiveness, and no matter, you know, there have been studies comparing, looking at 50 milligrams of Vioxx, studies looking at 25 milligrams of Vioxx, and it really doesn't appear that doubling the dose makes it any more effective.
This is 93.9 and AM 820 WNYC. We're talking about the latest on Vioxx and related issues with Rita Rubin, medical reporter from USA Today. She's also the author, by the way, of a new book called What If I Have a C-Section, published by Rodale. And people are calling in. We'll take some of your calls at 212-267-WNYC, 267-9692. And this is a Dr. Mascola calling from Venice, Florida. Doctor, thank you for dialing up.
Thank you very much. I just was listening and tuning in as I ran from my office to the hospital, and I just wanted to make a comment that probably wasn't presented. When physicians are prescribing these COX-2 inhibitors like Celebrex, Bextra, or Vioxx, for their younger patients that have arthritis, even though there are over-the-counter alternatives that are much cheaper, the problem we face in our society is physicians. We fear our litigious society. If a younger person may develop gastrointestinal bleeding as a result of not being on one of these COX-2 inhibitors, and the patient ends up suing, usually we're going to lose. So physicians are kind of driven in some of their prescribing habits by this litigious fear that exists in our society.
Well, you know, it's so interesting, though, because the drugs really haven't even been able to make the claim on their labels that they are safer, except Vioxx. The FDA did let Vioxx make the claim that it was safer than naproxen, and then only in patients who were not also taking aspirin to protect against heart disease. I mean, I guess my issue is with doctors who are prescribing it to people for just for acute pain. I'm not talking about arthritis patients who might be on it, you know, for years, but for people who needed to take it for a relatively short period of time. And my main issue there really is doesn't have to do with safety or effectiveness, but mainly cost. It just seems like, well, you know, why can these patients just go out and get ibuprofen?
And I guess when we talk about the rising cost of healthcare, and one of the reasons is that there are just more things on the market that are either, you know, really useful but expensive, or just easy to prescribe and expensive, then that's one of the things that pushes up all the costs. Doctor, you wanted to say?
That's true. Yeah, there is another point, too. You also have to remember, you know, to touch aside the business of medicine, when patients come into the office, they've had a lot of this direct-to-consumer advertising. We're seeing the pharmaceutical companies are now advertising in those slots that used to be reserved in prime time for Coca-Cola and Pepsi, and everybody's seen those. So your patients sometimes are demanding these newer medications, and we're all stretched with time. You don't have a lot of time sometimes to persuade your patient to go over the counter, and sometimes you find yourself giving in.
Thank you for calling us. I really appreciate it.
I'm so glad he raised that point. That's a really excellent point.
And what about Celebrex, which is another drug from another company that has you know, some of the same mechanism as Vioxx that's supposed to reduce the stomach upset. Is there reason to believe that it does or does not have the same cardiac risks?
Well, you know, so far it doesn't appear to have the same risk, but some people argue that the right studies haven't been done yet, that, you know, we don't have long-term data on Celebrex. As the folks from Merck pointed out in their press conference today, Vioxx is the only COX-2 inhibitor, as Celebrex is a COX-2 inhibitor, the only one for which there is our data past 18 months. The Celebrex studies have mainly been up to a year. And, you know, as I said, I mean, the observational studies where they're just looking at people who decided on their own to take these drugs haven't, you know, found any red flags. But I don't know. And, you know, I think there are some concerns about another Pfizer COX-2 inhibitor. Celebrex is Pfizer's. A newer product is called Bextra, and that's, I think, one of the fastest-growing drugs now, especially now that Vioxx has come off the market. And there was a study done recently in people who had just had bypass surgery. It was a small study. It was about 450 patients, but these are people who received kind of like an intravenous form of Bextra right after their surgery, and then for the next 2 weeks received Bextra by mouth, and they did see a higher rate of cardiovascular problems in these heart bypass patients who clearly, you know, had established heart disease. So I think there's still a lot more questions.
Florence in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Hello.
Hi.
I, about 2 years ago, received a package of samples of Vioxx from my doctor. But when I noticed that the printed material among the warnings said, may even cause death, I did not take them. I returned them to the doctor. And the same material appeared in a two-page ad by Merck in the AARP magazine. And I wonder why no one mentions this.
Well, I think, you know, I think you point out you make a good point. A lot of people don't read labels, and a lot of people don't read that information.
Right, but there's an FDA question here that I have, because in 2000 the FDA asked Merck to place warning labels on Vioxx, but as of when this study came out on September 30th and they pulled the drugs, there were about 2 million Americans on the drug, and it was being distributed in 80 countries. So how did they manage to continue this large distribution despite those warnings? just, you know, despite the FDA deciding that there was a substantial risk here of something?
You know, I think that's an excellent question, and I don't have any answer to it.
Yeah.
I think that may be related to the marketing of the drug, to the direct-to-consumer advertising. I don't think necessarily that patients and possibly even doctors were aware of some of the issues raised as far as the drug's cardiovascular effect.
So does this whole episode raise issues for what the FDA's approval process should be? I mean, we don't want to be too conservative and test every product for every possible ramification forever. And at the same time, I look at this and I say, well, heart attacks are a really basic thing that you think you would test any drug that was going to be, you know, for widespread use in for a year, which is all the study was that found the problem. And so where do we go from here?
Well, you know, I have to point out, Merck did test Vioxx in about 5,000 patients before it went on the market. And, you know,
for that?
Well, no, it was mainly osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis patients. But osteoarthritis and people with pain issues. But, you know, it didn't show up. I mean, they looked at this. It wasn't one of the primary outcomes, as they say. It wasn't one of the main things they were looking at in these studies, but of course they did have to totally evaluate the safety of the drug, and this didn't come up. But again, mm-hmm. they weren't as long as this most recent study, so they didn't come up before the drug went on the market. Then it comes on the market, it's used by millions of patients, and that's when and it's not just Vioxx. I mean, that's happened with other drugs too.
Right.
That you might not see it in the clinical trials right. that are done before it goes on the market, because those aren't millions of patients. But
right. And it raises a question that we can't answer here of what the standards for those trials should be. But Rita Rubin, medical reporter from USA Today and author of What If I Have a C-Section, just published by Rodale, thank you very much for coming on today.
My pleasure, Brian. Thank you.
This election year, coverage will cost WNYC an additional $250,000. In order to pay for that, this Thursday, we're going to try an experiment. That's tomorrow at 8 a.m. We'd like to raise all of that money in 1 hour. That's $125,000 from listeners, combined with a dollar-for-dollar match from generous donors. So please join us then and give generously, and thanks a lot. And today's program was produced by Nuala McGovern, with Ilya Marich, Jim Colgan, and Priya George. Help from Vandana Nagaraj and Elena Nicanther at the audio controls, music provided by Soul Live. I'll be back tonight at 8 for pre-debate coverage on AM 820 WNYC. I'm Brian Lehrer.